This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Essex County Sheriff Kevin Coppinger, who's in his first year of his first term and 100-plus days, Sheriff Coppinger. And I guess I don't know where to begin, but you promised in your campaign a few audits. So let's start right there with some audits. But again, welcome.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Bill. I very much appreciate you coming in and spending more time with me. I got to tell you, like you said, it's been 100-plus days, and so far it's all been great. I feel like a re-energized rookie police officer again. It's different than my former career as a police chief, but it's the same game, if you look at it that way. But I'm at the end of it. I'm at the late innings, where now, obviously, the inmates are here in custody. And our goal, obviously, is to care, custody, and control the inmates. But equally as important is we want to prepare the inmates when they go back to their communities to go back in better shape than when they came in. What I'm talking about is we want to make sure, obviously, they're healthier. They hopefully have seen, you know, that what they have done before is they shouldn't repeat in terms of crime and criminal behavior. We want them to go back to the communities and be productive citizens. So to answer your question, two of the things I said during the campaign is the first and foremost would be we're going to do a complete financial audit. And this is no disrespect to my predecessor, Sheriff Frank Cousins, who I think did a very, very good job up here, but it's just good management skills. So what I've done is I've contacted state auditor Suzanne Bump. I went into the State House, had a great meeting with her about 2 months ago, and she has assigned a team here who are doing a transitional audit as of December 31st, 2016. And they're going to go through the books, look at, you know, where we spend money, how we spend it, what are we spending it on. Are we abiding by all the rules and regulations and the legalities of that type of operation? And just give me some insight, you know, and you know, how can we do it better? How can we be more efficient? Budgets right now are extremely difficult. There's 14 sheriff's departments in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Four of us are severely underfunded. My budget for FY17, which is what we're in, which expires June 30th, is approximately $18 million in the hole. Now, this is something I inherited from Sheriff Cousins, and again, not his fault. This has been going on since about 2008 for a number of reasons, and we could talk about 3 hours about why, but it goes back to the transition from county government when Essex County was dissolved right around 2008 to now we're all state employees. It just never got level funded. We get financed by supplemental budgets, so I'm facing an $18 million deficit now with 2 months to go. So that's kind of an incredible task to do when your overall budget should be in the ballpark of maybe $68, $69 million. So this financial audit is going to help. It's not going to solve the problem, but we are working with state elected officials and the governor's office to correct those deficiencies. So that's the first audit.
Yeah.
The second one is more of an operational audit. We've contracted with a company that has a tremendous reputation that they're going to come in here the week of May 15th, so we got about another 2 weeks to go. And they will look at all the components of the operational piece of it. I'm talking about, obviously, jail security, inmate handling, medical issues with the inmates. That's a huge problem we have here because, as I said before, we're charged with the care, custody, and control of the inmates. A lot of the inmates are here with various medical issues. Vast majority of our inmates have mental health or substance abuse issues, and they can lead into more medical issues. So we got to be on top of that. So we have a contract with a company called NAFCARE. So that's going to be looked at, as well as programming. You know what we're doing with the inmates while they're here, in order to prepare them to return to their communities in better shape than when they came in. And then just the overall sense of the operation. You know, so there's five key components that this company is going to look at. And hopefully we'll have their report probably within 30 days, so I'm going to guess around mid-June. So once we have that, I'll put our management team together that I've been able to you know, build around me here, and we'll take the next step and go forward.
Let me follow up with your management team, because the personnel does change with the new sheriff in town, so to speak,
yeah.
Right? So maybe you want to share a note or two on that.
No, I'd love to. What I did was when I came in here, I had to bring some key people in, and I brought them in from the outside, which, don't forget, I was not an employee of the Essex County Sheriff's Department. I was a police chief in the city of Lynn. My campaign platform was I was coming in here with a new set of fresh set of eyes and a new perspective on things. Obviously, being a police chief, I've got a lot of background in criminal justice and law enforcement, so this was kind of an easy transition, but also a bit of a difficult transition. So I've hired a number of people to replace open slots because under the previous administration, some of these individuals decided to go either retire or go off into other careers. So I brought in Special Sheriff, which is the number two person here. His name is Bill Gerke. I've known Bill since high school. We went to St. Mary's in Lynn. We both started in Linfield Police during our Northeastern University days as co-op students. Bill went off to work for the United States Marshals Service, put in 30 years there. And then he's come back here now to work with me here on a daily basis. A tremendous knowledge about prisons and corrections and fugitives and trying to find fugitives. He's a huge asset. I also brought in a chief of staff, a gentleman by the name of Dennis Newman, who's been around government for many, many years. Dennis is an attorney, very well respected. He's helped me with some of the issues where I'm a little bit weak on is working in the State House with some of the players. Dennis has worked in state government, as I said, for the past 20 years, and he's a nice link there to help me out there, too. Yeah. I brought in my own CFO from the outside, a gentleman by the name of Brian Hightower. Brian was very well recommended from the state comptroller who helped me during the search. And Brian's going to help give us the overview of the entire financial piece in conjunction with that audit that the state audit is doing with us. And I brought in a few other key folks, but those are the real key ones here that are on the management team. So, but we're working with people who have been here for a number of years. One of the things I did when I came up, I took a page out of District Attorney Jonathan Blodgett's handbook that he suggested to me. So between the time I was sworn in, time I was elected, and before I was sworn in, I to all the management staff up here, I sent them letters and asked them for resumes so I could look to see what their backgrounds were, what their educations were. My whole philosophy has always been put round plugs in round holes. You want to put key players in the positions where you're going to get the most efficiency and take advantage of the individual skills. So I was very, very happy and pleased with what we've seen here, the staff that did stay. So I've had individual meetings with all of them. They're all on board. They share the same vision that I have for the agency. So I think we've developed a very, very good management team to go forward.
So we're talking with Sheriff Kevin Coppinger, and we're talking really about this transition into the job, basically, here, what we spent most of our time on. Let me just follow up with one more on that area, in the sense is that when you took the job or when you came into office here, you also had to go out to see all the different facilities that you have here and kind of meet the staff, so to speak. So tell me about that process, and by doing that, you'll also share with us, I think, the scope of the sheriff's office.
Yeah, great point to talk about. Right now we're in Middleton. Middleton is the main office. We have the House of Correction and the jail on the other side of the administrative wing that you're sitting in now. So, we just went to a meeting this morning. The head count here in Middleton today is 1,246 inmates. That's a lot of people in one facility up here. Overall, the agency has just over 650 employees. We have our second most populated area is up at what we call the farm, which is up in Lawrence. A lot of people will see it if they drive down 495 in Lawrence. You can see it off to the side. It legitimately is a farm. They grow crops out there, and we donate them to charitable institutions in the fall. It gives the inmates something to do and learn how to cultivate, the work, the earth. But that's our pre-release center. So in theory, what happens here is the inmates serve most of their time here. Before they get ready to be released, we move them up to the farm. There's no walls. There's no barbed wire up there. They come and go. We try to get them to work in the community in different jobs, and then eventually they get released and they go back in. And then there's the WIT, which is Women in Transition Center. That's up in Salisbury. That's we house women up there, 24 folks who are actually incarcerated up there, but it's minimum security. Again, no walls, no fences, but there are 24/7 Sheriff's Department staff to keep an eye on them. But what we wanted to accomplish, especially the first few days here, is I wanted to get out and meet as many people as I could that work with us here at the Sheriff's Department and let them see me. So we went to all the roll calls. Obviously it's a 24/7 operation. So myself and the staff members I mentioned before, we went up there and just went to the roll calls, met everybody. Just engage them in conversation. So I'm sure they wanted to check out who the new guy was. And obviously I want to try to meet as many people that work with me here. In addition to those, we also have three offices of community corrections. One is in Lawrence, one is in Salisbury, and one is in Lynn. These are more day reporting facilities where folks who are out, they might be out on a bracelet, an electronic monitoring bracelet. They might be out on bail, but they can go in and out of the the OCCs, as we call them, for drug testing or programming. And then we have a handful of other like halfway houses that we work with, private owners, where we will have some of our folks on electronic bracers residing in there. So we stopped by those too, just to meet as many people as we could.
Talking a little bit about electronics, but it triggers an idea that you had talked about technology too, Sheriff, about bringing technology or improving technology to the Sheriff's Office. So tell me, where does that stand?
Well, it's funny. Your timing is perfect. Yesterday morning, we kicked off what I believe is one of the major pieces of our technology upgrade here is a system called DHQ, which stands for Digital Headquarters. It's something that I had in my previous career in Lynn, but it's a software system that's now going to be at every roll call throughout the facility in all our various locations. It's like the nucleus of the agency, so any kind of correspondence that we have is going to be shared across the agency. One of the things I promised during the campaign that we would be transparent, not only with the public but internally, and I'm a firm believer of the more knowledge and intelligence you have about the job you do, regardless of your occupation, the more successful you'll be and the more efficient you'll be. So by us sharing knowledge together with all the employees, not only from the top down, from my office here down to the correctional officers who actually work the cell blocks, but across the agency, touching on all those institutions I mentioned before, the WIT up in Salisbury, the FAM up in Lawrence, and the three OCCs, et cetera. More information people have, the safer the job will be, because we have some inmates here who have done some serious offenses, committed some serious offenses, so we want to make sure we have as much as possible. So we kicked that off yesterday. There was nothing like that here before. It's very easy, but now when we have roll call, everything's going to be in front of them. Every PC in the agency will be able to access this DHQ. So if somebody's on a transportation van and they're moving prisoners around, they may not make roll call when they come back, and they can check in and they can look up what's new, what's happening. And they can stay abreast of all the issues that are going on in the agency.
Gotcha. All right. So another thing I know when you and I talked during the campaign, we talked about programming, something that you've kind of were involved with as a chief of police. Yeah. But you mentioned earlier the inmate timeline is a little bit different now with your job that you have now. But tell us about programming within the facility and then reentry programs. Where do you stand on that, probably assessing what's been here and your kind of vision for the future?
Sure. Like I said before, the ultimate goal for us here in corrections, no matter where you work, and if you're in the corrections department, you want to, what comes in, you want to leave your institution in better shape than when they arrived here. So currently, and again, the previous administration have put together one of the kind of the hallmarks of this agency are the detox programs. There's two detox programs here, one for men, one for women. They're 28-day programs, 42 beds each. And again, as I said a few minutes ago, the vast majority of our inmates here have substance abuse and or mental health issues here. So we work very closely with the courts, particularly the drug courts in Essex County. So the people eligible for these programs are they're not drug dealers, first of all. I mean, I have no sympathy for drug dealers. If you're going to deal drugs, you just need to come up here and do regular time. These are folks who may have committed low-level crimes, maybe some shoplifting, maybe some minor disturbance crimes, maybe prostitution, something like that, but because of their addiction. We bring them into the detox program. Hopefully they succeed and complete it. And then they go back in front of the judges. It gives the judges options. So maybe the individuals can go out on a bracelet, go back to the community, go back and retain their jobs, spend more time with their family. So it gives the individual, the inmates, some incentive to succeed. We have other programs in here. There's batterers programs for those who maybe have some domestic violence past. There's we're having a graduation Friday for HISET, which is high school equivalency. The old GED programs, now it's called HISET. So we've got a group of individuals who are going to graduate on Friday. We're going to have a little ceremony here. We're very pleased with those type of things. But that audit that I mentioned before when we first talked about the operational audit, they're going to look at our programs too, because what I want to do is I want to make sure we're doing as best possible, we're following national best practices. So why reinvent the wheel if there's something else out there? If we can copy or borrow some ideas from another agency, that's what we're going to do. Again, with the ultimate goal is to give the inmates as much help as we can while we have them so they don't come back to visit us.
Yeah. Now, I'm a big fan of best practices and stealing best practices and using them whenever possible. Absolutely. So I love to hear that because somebody's always doing something better than what you're doing somewhere around the country. probably. Okay, a couple of other issues, and just a couple, but immigration. This is something that I know one of your fellow sheriffs has been talking about, and I know you were quoted, I think, recently in the press, but it was a few months ago now, I'm thinking, soon after you took office. But what's your role with immigration?
Well, immigration, as you know, is the hot-button topic in most recent times. Everybody's talking about it. You know, I'm obviously going to follow the law, and Massachusetts has a Supreme Judicial Court case that's pending right now. It's called Commonwealth versus Lunn. But in a nutshell, our policy here is it will hold folks on a state charge. So if you're, your appeal, let's just say you're up here on a breaking and entering charge and you've been sentenced to 9 months, I'm just using round numbers here, and then we have an ICE detainer on you, we will notify ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that the detainer's there. But when you wrap up your sentence and it's your day to go, and you know if there's ICE in here, we will release you. And that's what we won't. We'll not hold on an ICE detainer only. We'll only hold an individual on a state charge. Same way it goes if you're here on a more of a jail sentence where you're not convicted yet and you make bail, we will release you. So it's, you know, I'm not, all due respect to my colleague out in the western part of the state or down south, you know, we're not sending prisoners down to build a wall, and we have enough work to do here in Essex County.
Yeah, well, they don't have the money yet, I guess, for that wall, but so you're off the hook, I guess, on that too. But finally, one last question, and again, we talked about this during the campaign, but your role with the Essex County Police Chiefs, you participate in monthly meetings. As we talk, there's one today. So maybe an update for our listeners. I think people may not be aware of that function of your job, but that's something that, you know, that you do spend a lot of time or some time on.
Yes, and it's something from my former career. I was always glad to see that the Sheriff's Department would work with individual cities and towns to house prisoners. If you look at police departments, their sole mission is obviously it's public safety. They want to keep their streets safe, and they do hold prisoners in their jails. Well, most of the police departments do. But they're not experts in it. We're supposed to be the experts. We're the corrections piece of it. So we continue the program of housing, do what we call holds. So if a department arrests somebody, particularly on a Friday night, and the individual cannot make bail, then we'll take them up here and we'll hold them within our facility. Obviously, we have food service here. We have, you know, the clothing farm. We have a low-level infirmary, we could do some stuff. So it's better than just sitting in a jail cell in a particular police department. And there's a couple of departments that they're very small. They have no jail cells. So they will bring their prisoners here directly, and we will hold them for as long as we have to. But the whole piece of it is it's cooperation and collaboration. So working with all the police chiefs, I know we're doing some work up in Lawrence with them because Lawrence has had a little bit of a spike in crime. You know, the police chief called me up. What can you do? Can you help me out, you know, Kevin? I said, absolutely. So we've given him some assets to help out there. But we're here to support the police departments in the cities and towns no matter what we do. And just as another issue, I'm getting a little bit off topic, but it's springtime. You know, everybody's trying to go out there. They're cleaning up their yards and their properties. We do a lot of community service with our inmates who are in the pre-release center. The meeting we were at this morning, we've got vans all over the county out there today bringing inmates who are out helping clean up public parks, maybe nonprofit organizations. This is a great time. I used to coach a lot of Little League baseball. We would use the inmates, and we're doing it now. They'll go clean the fields up so the kids, you know, can have clean facilities and to play ball in. So you'll see the inmates on the side of the highways. You know, we call it the stick and pick. They walk down, they're picking up the litter on the side of the highways. It's just community service. We're giving back to something, giving something back to the taxpayers in order to make the communities better places.
Can I give you my address, my home address?
Yeah. Can't do that. You'll get in trouble.
All right. That's how much I love the yard work. Okay. Now, I guess finally, anything else I didn't ask you about that you'd like to share with the folks again on first 100-plus days here as Essex County Sheriff?
No, I appreciate the time and the questions we discussed. You know, we're just in the initial stages. We've been here 4 months, give or take. We've got our feet wet. We still have new things to learn. One of the things I'm really pushing here is training. I was a big advocate of training in my former career, and we want to increase the training levels here at the Essex County House of Correction. Better trained, you know, staff is going to be better service. You know, again, we're here for the care, custody, and control of the inmates. We want to do that the best we can. But we're also, we've got to be very mindful of the safety of our correctional officers, our staff, as well as the inmates. So the more training we can do in regards to identifying mental health issues, everybody talking about suicides in the jail since the Aaron Hernandez meeting. We've already had some suicide prevention training over the years here. We're going to do some more. We're bringing in the experts. We're trying to identify any issue that we have that's those hot-button topics. And we're going to keep moving. Yeah. And the next phase of this is we're going to try to increase our reentry services, engaging nonprofits and social service agencies in the individual cities and towns. So when we release the inmates and they go back to their communities, they have resources, they have links. Because once they're out of our custody, they're not coming back to us, hopefully, but some are going to need help. So we can hook them up with local resources there. It's a win-win for all.
Gotcha.
Well, Sheriff Coppinger, great talking with you again. Best of luck and continued success.
Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Kevin Coppinger, Sheriff Essex County. I'm Bill Newell. This is MSO, newsports.com.